It's always good to be here, to worship God with God's people in His house. Amen. We're going to read from the book of Isaiah, so turn your Bibles or your iPhones or your iPads to the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, 1 to 10. Isaiah 11, 1 to 10. Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bringing fruit from the old root. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance, nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor. He will make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion. And a little child will lead them all. The cow will graze near the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in a nest of deadly snakes without harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For as the water filled the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. In that day, the heir to David's throne will be a banner of salvation to all the world. The nations will rally to him, and the land where he lives will be a glorious place. This is the word of the Lord. The inspiration behind this message actually came this morning, came from a dialogue I had with a friend of mine who asked me, why don't we hear God's voice like we used to in the past? Why doesn't God speak so clearly, so loudly, like he did in the past? Which made me actually think, how does God's voice sound? Now, I know we've all heard encountered God in one way or another, but how does God's voice actually sound when he speaks loudly? Like I'm speaking to you, you can all hear my voice, and you know how I sound. So how does God sound like? I don't know. I wish I heard him once, and I heard him several times in my life, but I never heard him speak out loud, like into a room like now. I wonder what would happen if he would speak now. Would we all recognize the voice, or would we all freak out and just run out? I don't know. But that's kind of the discussion we had. That's the talk we had. It's been a long time, he said, since God spoke so clearly, since the signs were so obvious that everyone around knew that something extraordinary was going to happen. Now, once upon a time, there was no denying when God spoke. Things changed when God spoke. People moved when God spoke. Things were dramatic. There were amazing demonstrations of God's power when God spoke. We know all of this from all the stories we read in the Bible or we learned in Sunday school. The act of creation itself, if you think about it, when God spoke, the sun and the moon were born. Stars lit the sky. The earth formed. Ocean divided, forming land. Plants grew when God spoke. Birds and animals covered the ground. Adam and Eve were lived in the garden, walking and talking in perfect fellowship with God and with one another. This all happened when heaven spoke. Noah heard God's call and built the ark. He rode out the flood with his family in it, with all the animals. and received God's promise in the form of a rainbow. Abraham, whose visitations from God brought the news that this old man and his wife would give rise to a great nation, the people of God, multitudes of people will be called God's people in the person of their child. Their child, a child of their barren marriage. Amazing things happened when God spoke. Moses, who had repeated encounters with God, he heard God in a burning bush. He saw plagues and Passovers. He saw God and heard God in pillars of fire and pillars of cloud. What amazing things happen when God speaks, when heaven speaks. Remember when he came down from the mountain after being with God, surrounded by clouds and fire and thunder. He came down so changed that he had to put a veil on his face because he encountered this one great living God. Samuel, who was awakened in the night by God calling him and answered with a life of service, saying, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Elijah, who challenged Baal's prophets to see whose God would speak the loudest, and was answered when God sent a fire that consumed everything, stone, water, the sacrifice, the wood. This is what happens when God speaks. We all know the book of Isaiah. We've just read verses from that book. He's an Old Testament prophet who foretold the coming of the Messiah. We all know all these familiar passages from the book of Isaiah that talk about this. Some examples in chapter 12, we found what's commonly known as the Song of Isaiah. "Surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in God and not be afraid." Again, in chapter 9, we hear Isaiah saying, "The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now, one thing about Isaiah that he's generally thought of, or people think of his writing as primarily concerned with judgment. But as we've just read, there's far more to Isaiah's message than a cry out for judgment and punishment. Isaiah also writes of God's promise of salvation, God's divine determination to break sin's grip on this world. God's divine determination to break the grip of sin on this world, on his beloved creation. Now, the chapter we've read, chapter 11, Isaiah wrote it when the Assyrian army was kind of rolling around through the countryside of Judah and Israel, and they were working terror and destroying everything wherever they went. Nothing was spared, not even the trees. They were cut down to the stump. And that's where he comes with this beautiful image out of there. "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, of the house of David." He sees his country destroyed, the trees are cut down, and then he gives out this message, this beautiful message: "A shoot will come out of the stump of Jesse, out of the house of David, and a branch shall grow out of its root." Wow. "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon the one who is to come, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and a little child shall lead them. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For all the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God, just as the waters covers the seas." Just when the people of Israel and Judah thought things couldn't get any worse, Isaiah comes and offers them this vision of new beginning. Everything was dead, but then there's a new beginning, there's new growth. And that new beginning came again When heaven spoke one more time, when God sent his angel to proclaim the birth of Christ, the coming of the Messiah. That is what we celebrate. We celebrate this new thing that is coming, that came, and that is still to come. Jesus came to be many things. He came to be the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the Savior, the Lord. And yet Isaiah describes him as the coming of a servant, one who would suffer for and serve his people, one who would come to bring righteousness and justice, mercy and great and grace. This servant, says God through Isaiah, this servant will come not with trumpets and banners, not with torches and swords, but with a quiet voice and a gentle spirit, with loving persistence and constant care for his people. And he will come to be a light to the nations, to restore sight to the blind, and to release those who are in captive, who are in captivity. So that was what Isaiah told us about the Messiah, about Jesus. Who is then Jesus in the New Testament? Well, according to the Gospel of John, Christ is the Word of God in the flesh, incarnated for us, but also incarnated in us. He is not outside of us. He is also in us. Now this gives a whole new meaning to what it means or to what happens when heaven speaks again. Because when heaven speaks, things change. When heaven speaks, lives are changed. When heaven speaks, everything and everyone takes notice. Everything and everyone listens when heaven speaks. And when we have Christ in us, and if we do not speak about this greatness of God that is in us, then creation, down to the very last rock, the smallest stone of all, will witness to the goodness of God. So my answer to my friend was, God did not stop speaking. He said, yes, but there was a period of time of silence, you know, between the Old and the New Testament. And now he's not speaking the same way he used to be in the past. I said, no, God did not stop speaking. Heaven is still speaking and talking even today. And this is where heaven speaks today. In our words. In our actions. In our kindness to others. And in the way we live out the great love that we have received. Heaven speaks when we pack up things, when we gather clothes, and send them to families and children who are living in Jordan or refugees in Syrian refugees in Jordan or wherever in the world. When last week, when people gave to Reverend to Andrew White, this was heaven. This was God speaking. Heaven speak when we deliver a meal to someone who might otherwise not eat that day or go hungry. Heaven speaks when we make room in our buildings and in our hearts for people in need. Heaven speaks when we welcome someone in our fellowship, in our worship time, in our service. This is when heaven speaks. Heaven speaks when we speak out against injustice, against racism, against evil of the world. This is when heaven speaks. Heaven still speaks to us and through us. And here's part of what heaven says. At least this is what I imagine it. Heaven will say, let everyone come. Heaven will say, tell them about me. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the Messiah. Show him, show them his love. And let them sense his presence in each and every one of us. Heaven still speaks through us as God as God's gathered people. We are gathered here today because the name of God, the name of Christ, was called upon us. We are God's gathered people, and heaven still speaks through us. When others see our love and Christ in the midst of that love, this is when heaven speaks. When we share Jesus' kindness to others, heaven speaks. When we welcome strangers into our midst, heaven speaks. When we fulfill or help fulfill the needs of others, heaven speaks. When we visit the sick or the needy or the widows, heaven speaks. When we fulfill Jesus' commandments to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and don't forget, love our neighbors as ourselves, this is when heaven speaks. We call ourselves children of God, brothers and sisters of Christ, and we are called to be formed or reflect the image of Christ. We are called to have Christ in us. So if we have Christ in us and we are reflecting His image, then we need to do the things that Christ would do. Let's read those verses again in the light of that knowledge, that we are to reflect Christ in the world. We are to speak Christ in the world. We will delight in obeying the Lord. We will not judge by appearance, nor make a decision based on hearsay. We will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. We will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. This is what we are to do. This is how heaven speaks today. The challenge for you and for me and for all of God's people is, first of all, to speak clearly the words of heaven. God is love for you and for me and for all people, and we need to speak that clearly. Just as heaven spoke in Christ, the incarnate Word of God, so too heaven speaks to us and through us, the body of Christ, who are alive by and with the Spirit of God. Are we all listening to what heaven is saying? And are we speaking clearly the words of heaven? Amen.
Let's all stand. It's in the simple ways that God speaks that we need to be sensitive to hear those ways, because He'll surprise us. And if we're not looking for His voice, we'll miss it. So thank you, Shadi, and for that message, very timely. We want to be those who hear His voice in this land, and to spread the good news to all. Let's see. Father, we bless you and thank you that you still speak. And Lord, sometimes your voice is strong, sometimes it's a still small voice. But Lord, help us to have the discernment and the patience to hear you out fully in our lives. We want to hear that voice, and we pray that we'll be sensitive to the leading of your Spirit for this day and for the rest of our life. Be with us now as we continue to minister encouragement and hope to one another, and Lord, dismiss us with your grace. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.